Welcome everyone to today's podcast. We're talking about people who try to sabotage your weight loss. They're going to be there, so get ready for them. You got to deal with these people, and it could be people that love you and that you love. So understand that when people want to sabotage you or are trying to sabotage you, the first thing I think you want to do is to let go of the anger. It can be very angering when you're trying to do all these changes and you're struggling with that. And then on top of it, you got people trying to sabotage you. And how you think about it is the first thing you can shift. And so what I'll suggest to you is that these people can love you and want you to lose weight and be healthier. But at the same time, every time you start eating healthier, losing weight, living healthier, it's kind of like you're holding a mirror up to them. And that's how people interpret it. And so they start to feel like they're being judged. They start to reflect on their own situation, and it creates a state of pain for them. And the fastest way to get out of that state of pain is for you to just go back to how you were. And so a lot of times while they're trying to sabotage you, it's not helpful, obviously, and it sucks. But at least the motivation behind it isn't cruel. It's not to, you know, mess you up so that you're worse off. It's really just, it's all about them. And I think if you go into it with compassion and empathy for them, which I know it doesn't sound fair, right? Because you're doing everything you can to do all this work. And then on top of that, you got to take into account their state of mind and their emotions. But if you do, it changes your whole energy. And that energy of being more compassionate and empathetic and understanding why they're trying to do that is actually going to help you lose weight better. Because the more calm and relaxed you are, and the more calm you are when you're dealing with people that are trying to sabotage you, the more effective you're going to be in implementing your strategies that get you to your goal weight. So that's the first step, is whoever's trying to sabotage you, look at what they're doing. And a lot of times what you're going to realize is they're doing it because you eating healthier, living healthier makes them uncomfortable, either because it makes them think about their situation or it ruins some of the rapport things you guys do. So if a lot of times you're going out and you're eating, you know, you're going to get wings and beers, that's the way you guys bond, and all of a sudden you're not doing that, again, it's breaking rapport. So you want to go out of your way to realize this and find other ways to connect with them, reassure them that you still love them, you still care for them, you're still going to hang out with them. You're just making some of these changes for yourself. That's the first step. The second step, though, is that you need to get more motivated, okay? Everyone's got different challenges along this path. And if you have people in your life that you're close to that are trying to sabotage you, you have got to really boost your motivation. You need to be more motivated than the average person because you have this situation. So it is very important that, you know, regularly you ask yourself, why do I want to lose weight? What is my motivation here? And we want to get to the big whys so that even if you're getting tempted or someone's trying to sabotage you, you've got the state of mind, the fortitude, the clarity to easily say no to it and keep moving on your path. And again, both of these steps will help you do that, to understand where they're coming from, develop some empathy and compassion for them, and then to really, really sit on your foundation of motivation where you're crystal clear about why you're doing this, because that'll give you the motivation to get through any challenge, but especially this one. So I hope these help you out. If anyone has any questions, feel free to ask them. And then let's move the old cameras around. There we go. Yeah. Kind of close. It's a little close. There we go. All right, there we are. So yeah, if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask them. Any weight loss questions are fine. So here we are on a Monday. People getting ready to start their Monday. I don't know, though. It's a day after St. Patrick's Day. Are people looking to kick off that now? And is St. Patrick's Day as big as it was? I don't know. For me, it is not. It used to be such a big thing, and now it's not so much. But there's Jody. So glad for Monday. I need my gym fix. That's funny. So yeah, Jody, how would you do, Jody? You do anything on St. Patrick's Day? I don't know what people are still doing. Oh my goodness. I think back to St. Patrick's Days, some ridiculous St. Patrick's Days in terms of drinking and being absolutely an idiot. So I'm glad those days are behind me. But everyone else, I don't know. I don't know if it's as big. It's weird on a Sunday too. You know, you're drinking a lot on Sundays to start your week off all hungover. That's no good. Hannah says, how can we break the habit when it comes to thinking about food, please? Yeah, great question. We got to change the way we think about food, right? If we're going to change our weight, we got to change the way we think about food. And so break the habit when it comes to thinking about food. Well, here's the first thing, is you can't stop just thinking about something. I think this is important to understand because a lot of dieters just want to stop things. I want to stop thinking about food. But one of the things you learn in neuroscience real quick, I feel like this is zoomed in on me way too much. I guess it's going to continue to be. There we go. Jeez, felt too close to me. So what was I saying? Yeah, a lot of times dieters just think they're going to stop things. But when you study neuroscience, one of the first things you realize is you can't get rid of old wiring. There's no getting rid of old wiring. There's only replacing or implementing new wiring over it. So it's not that we want to stop thinking about food necessarily. That's a big ask. I think the better thing to do is to use a couple techniques. One of them is that you still think about food, but you think about healthy food. You think about food that's going to nourish you, that's going to give you energy, clarity of mind, make you feel good, give you the body you want, the health you want. And so you start thinking about food in a more robust way. You see what I mean, though? Because you already got all this wiring to think about food constantly. So I don't think you're just going to become a person who doesn't think about food. So what we want to do is change the way we're thinking about food. So this is how we utilize that principle I just told you. The wiring never goes away. You're always thinking about food, but it'd be a lot easier instead of trying to say, oh, I'm going to stop thinking about food. No, you're not. Is to change the way you think about food. So you're... Hold on a second. I'm trying to fix my... Can't be blurry on. Is that better? So we need to think about it differently. And so we're going to still think about food just as much, but what we're going to do is we're going to think about how we can make the food healthier, more nourishing. We're going to optimize how we're eating. So the food is food that's going to give us the body and the weight that we want to be in. So again, we're thinking about food just as much, but we're thinking about it differently. And I think that's the strategy that I would rely on more, just simply because you've been conditioned and you have a strong mental muscle for thinking about food. And that's probably not going anywhere. And it doesn't have to for you to master your weight. We just need to change the way you're thinking about the food. And so I will tell you, you eventually get to a point. I'm at a point now where I don't nearly think about food the way that I did. And so here's the second piece of it is that I'm getting distracted. Someone's writing to me. It's back on picture. It keeps changing. I don't know what's going on there. The second piece of the puzzle, once you change the way you're thinking about food, is to structure your eating so that you think about food less. That's probably the most important strategy to think about food less, is to structure your eating so you have a sense of what you're going to eat when. And so I put both of those two together. You can initially think about food just as much because that's what you do. But then as you start to structure your eating, you'll find that you don't need to think about food as much. So, you know, a big part of what leads to thinking about food all the time is when you're not sure what you're going to eat. I mean, you kind of know what you're going to eat, but you leave the options open, and that gets you to think about food all the time. You're right. You don't think about when you're going to brush your teeth because you just do it on autopilot. So you can make your eating much more like that. And I think that's probably, at the end of the day, the most important strategy for really getting the food thinking under control, you know, in addition to thinking about it in a different way. Deanna says, how to change mindset? Does that include meditation, words of affirmation, etc.? Yeah, okay, let me break down mindset because I find that most people don't. And I find that mindset's a very vague term for most people. And so I think you need to have definitive understanding of the components of a mindset. And so I will give you mine. And in Program Yourself, then we break down mindset to six categories. The first one is motivation. Do you know how to motivate yourself? I don't know. You do or you don't. Self-image. Do you have a sense of your self-image now and the self-image and identity that you want to have ultimately? And do you know how to change that? Habits. Do you know how to strategically influence your habits so that you can reduce, remove the unhealthy ones and implement and install healthy ones so they run on autopilot? Emotions. Do you know how to deal with your emotions genuinely without food? Do you know how to feel the emotions you want to feel and deal with the shitty emotions you don't want to feel? Thinking. This is the literal nuts and bolts. Do you know the questions to ask, the proper questions to ask to get the proper thinking out of your brain so that you get the results you want? Do you know how to think about food, your health, exercising in a way that supports your goals? And then finally is maintenance. Do you know how to stay on track? Do you know how to maintain what you're doing here? And for if you're a dieter, you probably don't have an answer to any of those. But if you're in program yourself, then you do, because that's what we do with the blueprints, is we go through those areas and I give you a fill in the blank blueprints because you got to customize them to yourself. But we go through those six categories. And that, I believe, is how you start to create a thin and healthy mindset. So again, the idea that, you know, even if you just meditate, what happens when you meditate, and meditate's very important in my mind, but what happens is, let's just say you got a dieter mindset. You think like a dieter. Well, go ahead and meditate. You're still going to come out of that meditation thinking like a dieter. So the meditation, I'm not saying it won't help you, but it's not going to help you the way you think it is. It's just going to calm you down and relax you so you can think more clearly like a dieter. You're still trapped. And words of affirmation, forget about it. That almost, most of the time with words of affirmation, you don't even believe them. So it's kind of a waste of time and energy for most people. And again, the same problem is, if you're thinking as a dieter and you're telling yourself, oh, I'm great, I'm beautiful, I could do this, all the rest of it. Well, if you got a broken mindset, you're really not going to believe that stuff, because you can believe all you want. Here's what I'm saying. Like, let me put it in a different context. You could do all of these things. See, I think this is why no one has a clear definition of what meditation is, and so, or what mindset is. And so this is why people will think, oh, well, I'll meditate, I'll do a words of affirmation. But it's not going to help you if you don't have the right mindset. And to put this into context, if you don't play the piano, right, you've never played the piano before, and you say, like, I want to get a piano player's mindset, well, you can meditate your face off. You could go and give yourself affirmations all day long. None of that shit's going to help you, because it'll help you be in a better mood to learn to play the piano, perhaps. But the core problem remains that you don't know how to play the piano. And the core problem remains with you, that you don't know how to live as a thin and healthy person. So do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not just enough to just do things that make you feel better. The core problem is you're missing information. You're missing subconscious programs. You're missing strategy and ways of thinking that are what are going to give you the results you're looking for. You see? So there's no amount of meditation. I don't want to say meditation can help you. It's a very long road. If you were just going to rely on meditation, it would be a very long road, and you may or may not get to where you want to go. Okay. Again, that being said, I'm a huge believer in meditation. We use it in the program, but it's not enough. So yeah, changing the mindset, in my opinion, is breaking it down to those six categories and going into that. Then you have a real mindset. Like, when you know how to motivate yourself, when you know how to think of yourself as a thin, healthy person, when you identify that way, when you know how to change your habits, when you know how to deal with your emotions, when you know the questions to ask yourself, and you know how to maintain even when you're not feeling it. Now that's a mindset, you see? And you'll know it because there's things in your life you do. There's things in your life you do kind of on autopilot, maybe whatever you do for work. You do these things and you've got that mindset, so you kind of do it on autopilot. It's when we don't have the right mindset that we're always fighting against ourselves. And I think recognizing that is helpful, because I think people, yeah, if you think like you're just going to meditate and that's the problem, you're missing the big old picture, you know, the big old picture. What questions do you mean? Solution-oriented questions. You know, most dieters out here thinking about what's wrong with them. You're always trying to diagnose what's wrong with you, why you can't succeed. And what you don't realize is all that thinking is hypnosis, and it's just reinforcing the paradigm you live in. It's just reinforcing that dieter mindset. Why can't I stick to a plan? Why can't I get myself to eat right? Why can't I lose the weight? You're always asking these questions, and they're all based on the problem that you're experiencing. And you're almost never asking questions like, how can I eat healthy in a way that brings me back to my goal weight in a way that's easy and comfortable? How can I enjoy the process of weight loss? How can I live at my goal weight for the rest of my life on near autopilot? You're never asking questions like that. Ever, never, ever, never. And so that's why you're never getting solutions. And dieters know this, because dieters have been asking the same problem-oriented questions for decades. You've probably been trying to lose weight for decades. You're no further along. And there's no sense. The point I always try and make out to let you know that the dieting mindset is like a hamster wheel. There's no exit, okay? Is that when you look at all your decades of dieting, you're no further along. There's no sense of a path. There's no sense of improvement. You know, don't you realize that? It's like, oh, what's today? Is anyone starting their keto plan today? Give me a thumbs up. Give me a heart if you're starting your keto plan today. But it's like, you haven't learned anything from the last time you did it. So why would this time be any different? You know, it's just weird. How long does it take? I know it's personal. Yeah, it is personal, and it just depends on a million things, you know, but I'm way less concerned with the question of how long it takes and way more concerned with how long does it last. And I think you should too, Because I think when you just want to know how long it's going to take, you're very conditional. So it's going to take 2 years. Oh, 2 years, that's too long. Well, where's your weight been the last 2 years? Anyways, you probably weigh the same you did 2 years ago or more. So why is 2 years too long? Don't you wish you started 2 years ago? It's this trap you're in. It's this short-term time frame trap is the hallmark of a dieter. And so, again, how long does it take? Who gives a shit? If you just do it one more time, it really doesn't matter, you know? I'm kind of picking on you. I'm not busting your chops. That's a normal question that a person would ask. But I'm just trying to point out that it's really the wrong question. Tony Robbins always, he makes this point the best that anyone ever heard. But he's like, if you have a kid, they're like, how long would you give them to learn how to walk? You know, how long would you let them try to learn how to walk before you cut them off and said, you know what, you're done. You're never going to learn this, right? Now, it's a funny question because that paradigm doesn't exist when it comes to walking. When it comes to walking, there is no time limit. They're just going to do it until they learn to walk. But when it comes to weight loss, the main frame around your weight loss is how long it's going to take. You know, so that's got to change. You're never ever going to get the results you imagine you want in your mind if you're just so fixated on how long it's going to take. So, been the same weight for 9 days despite good effort, trying to be happy I maintained the plateau rather than saying fuck it and giving up. I get an H-bomb in 9 days. I know 9 days feels like a lifetime right now, but it's not. 9 days is nothing, you know, it just, and there's good and bad, but it just is what it is. And so I get it, H-bomb. So I'm not, you know, that's the work. Like the work's the inside work. The work is not like, you know, eating well and exercising and losing weight. That's really not the work, folks. The work is when you hit a plateau and then you start dealing with the mindset of how do I stay on track? And you're dealing with, now H-bomb, you're in the game at least now. Because to be honest, folks, you're not even in the game when you're losing weight. How about that? Who gives a shit? I don't care. Oh, I started my plan. I'm keto. I'm down 10 pounds. You're not even in the game yet. You're not even in the game. You're not in the game until you fuck up one time or you hit a plateau. Now you're officially in the game, okay? But you starting your keto plan, losing 15 pounds, you're not even at the starting line. You haven't even started in my mind. So start your Weight Watchers. Oh, I lost 15 pounds this month. Not interested. You're not even in the game. You're not in my game. I'm in the weight mastery game. And you can't even start the weight mastery game really until you hit your first bump in the road, whether it's put some weight on, you plateau, you ate a pint of ice cream, whatever. Now we're in the game. And so H-bomb, you're in the game now. So congratulations. You could only got here if you'd done positive things, lost some weight, and then hit the plateau. So great job. You finally have the opportunity. This is why I say this, because who gives a shit? You've lost weight before. The weight doesn't fucking matter. The weight loss doesn't matter in the beginning. I'm telling you, it doesn't. So now you have lost some weight though, but now you're officially in the game. And now, because now is your chance. You have the opportunity to actually start walking a different path for the first time in your life. You've started diets, you've lost weight, you've hit plateaus, and then you've quit. You've done that so many times, it's just the norm. But now for the first time in your life, you have the opportunity to hit a plateau, get all wibbly wobbly and say, how do I want to deal with this? And actually make another decision. So I'm happy for you, H-bomb. Okay, this is a good moment for you. Even though it may not seem like that, this is the big moment, all right? And again, you know, you're saying what I know you're listening to this stuff. So great job, you know, trying to be happy I maintained the plateau is quite an accomplishment, but that's not the ultimate goal, okay? So yes, we're looking at it as maintenance. We're practicing maintenance. But while you're in that maintenance, you're looking to optimize the maintenance and you're looking to make the eating that you've been doing to lose the weight easier and more enjoyable and stabilize what you're doing. We're not trying to cut more calories out. We're optimizing. And then after another 20 days, then you can look at what you're doing and say, okay, your body may kick back in and start losing weight. Or you could say, okay, now I know what I'm doing. My weight's kind of stabilized. Now let me look at what I'm doing. Let me strategically cut some more calories out. So congratulations, Dates Bomb. You're in a great spot. Allie Campbell says, I also started saying release excess weight because if you lose something, you'll try to find it. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's very true. To be honest, though, I'll take you a step further beyond that. If we want to get into semantics, which I love talking about semantics, is it's really not even about releasing extra weight. It's about being the weight you want to be. So if you could just bypass the whole weight loss piece almost, I know I'm going too far this way, but if you can make the weight loss piece almost just a secondary effect that happens by you focusing on the weight you want to be at And in order to live at the weight you want to live at, you need to think, live, and eat a certain way. And that's what you're figuring out in a way that works for you, I hope. And so it's really about me living at my goal weight. And during that process, your body's going to transform and look different, and weight's going to fall off and disappear. But it's such a paradigm shift, because we always think about losing weight. But really, like, if I could magically give you my... So in Program Yourself, then we have the three weight mastery blueprints: mindset, lifestyle, eating blueprint. These are your roadmaps you follow to get to your goal weight and live the rest of your life. If I could magically give you your own custom-made one, that's what you do in the program. But imagine I knew exactly what was going to work for you, okay? And I gave you this weight mastery blueprint where you thought, lived, and ate like a thin and healthy person. It was customized specifically around you, your preferences, your lifestyle, everything. I give you this, and you start living it and you love it. Well, you have now, on day one, you're starting to live at your thin and healthy weight. And now it's just a matter of time that the weight starts to come off. But then, so say it takes 6 months for all the weight to come off. But on day one, you were living like this person you wanted to be. And for the rest of your life, you're going to live that way. So I know it's a weird paradigm shift, but we're always thinking of our overweight selves and then trying to lose it. So our self-image is always thinking about being overweight. Right? If you want to lose weight, it's because you're overweight. You're identifying as an overweight person. So if you start thinking as I'm going to be a thin and healthy, I'm going to think, live, and eat like a thin and healthy person. It's about becoming that person. Let me put it one other way. Say you want to learn the piano. You're not saying I'm losing my piano ignorance day by day. Every day I'm getting less ignorant about playing the piano. You don't think of it that way, right? You think of it as I'm getting better. I'm learning things about the piano. And anything else you learn, you're never defining the process as one of, oh, I'm getting less and less ignorant. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to think of it this way. Like, I know it's just what we think about it. So now it sounds like what I'm saying is weird. But again, anything you want to learn, you never define the process of where you're getting there really as like this lack of ignorance that's going away. I don't know. I'm philosophical, but I hope that helps you out. But I think you're right. The words we use have a huge impact. Creedy says it's hard. Usually when I break my diet, it's with my comfort foods. Yeah, but that's because you never learn how to eat your comfort foods. And I'll die on this hill. I don't give a shit. In Program Yourself, then we have 5 clean days, 2 pleasure days every week. That's how we strategize things, because dieters just want to be perfect because they want to lose weight as quick as possible. And I think trying to be perfect with your eating is one of the biggest mistakes dieters make. And so, yeah, your comfort foods are always going to mess you up, because your diet is, I'm not going to eat any comfort foods. And then you really think you're gonna live a life with no comfort foods? Oh no, I'll eat comfort foods eventually. Once I lose the weight, then I'll figure it out. No, you won't. No one does. So yeah, comfort foods are always gonna mess you guys up. But it extra messes you up because you think you're gonna lose weight by never eating comfort foods. Again, it's your black or white thinking, your all or nothing thinking. There's no comfort foods in there. I'm losing weight. I'm not gonna eat comfort foods. They're gonna slow my weight loss down. Yeah, what you don't realize is not having any comfort foods is fucking your weight loss up more than anything. Because you get to a point where you say, what is the point? If I can't eat the foods out, like, what's the point of even being alive? And then you quit your diet. Again, it's this all or nothing thinking. So yeah, comfort foods screw up everyone, which is why we have pleasure days, because the most important piece is learning how to enjoy your foods. How do you get the most pleasure out of food? That's the question you want to answer. And I know your diet brain says, well, I'll eat as much of it as possible. But when you're thin and healthy, the answer is I'll enjoy that food at my goal weight. That's the most pleasure I could get out of it. The most pleasure from food is not the quantity you eat. You think you're getting the most pleasure out of food compared to me? We're both eating a delicious cookie that we both love, and you think you're enjoying it more than me? I'm at my goal weight. I've got no shame, guilt. There's nothing on the other side of that cookie to take my pleasure away. The second you finish eating that cookie, you're fucking mad at yourself. So you're going to tell me that you're enjoying that cookie as much as I am? Maybe if you look at this one split second when we're eating it, but if you zoom out in the big picture, no way, no way. So it's about, again, everything I'm saying to you guys always, it's always reframing how we think about stuff. And you as a dieter got a whole lot of reframing to do, you know, but I get it, Creedy. I get that's the hardest part, but the answer is not to... Again, if you think comfort foods are your downfall, the solution is to never have comfort foods again. Like, that's never going to work for you. And if you don't believe me, let me know. Deanna says, examples of strategy versus tactic. Well, that one's easy, because every single diet you've ever tried or ever learned about is a tactic. Every single diet is a tactic, right? A tactic's one thing. And this is very intentional because diets know they're trying to appeal to people that are overwhelmed and frustrated and exhausted and all the rest of it. So they need to make it as simple as possible. I just call it the carnival game routine, where it's like they take something really difficult and try and make it seem really simple. And I think the best example of this is keto. Just stop eating carbs. It sounds so simple to say. It flows off the tongue so simply. But then for those of you who have tried it, that's completely changing your diet. It's completely and totally changing your diet, which is one of the hardest things in the world. So again, every diet though, just count your points. Just track your calories. Just stop eating for 16 hours. Just eat Mediterranean food. Just stop eating fat. Just stop eating carbs. Just stop eating protein. It never ends, you know? But those are all tactics. So a strategy is like program yourself thin, where we have a mindset piece, lifestyle piece, eating piece, and they all reinforce each other. Because the problem for you with your weight isn't that you don't know what to do. It's not that I could give you a keto plan and if you followed it perfect, you'd lose weight. You could follow any diet perfect and you'd lose weight. Your problem isn't that you don't know what to do. The problem is that you don't have tactics. The problem is you have no strategy for how to get yourself to do those tactics consistently. So you have no deeper strategy. You don't think holistically. You just think, okay, I'm going to go on my diet. Today's Monday. I'm going to start my keto plan. And I'm going to be starving. I'm going to be hungry. It's going to be depriving. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be hard. And I'm just going to force myself through it. And me, I'm looking at how can I make this as easy as possible? So instead of changing all of my eating at once, instead of completely getting rid of carbs, let me focus on my worst eating habit. I'll stay focused on that until I get some real strategy and solutions to fix that. And once I have those, it's not just me requiring a ungodly level amount of willpower. I now sit in front of you as someone who's been at the same weight for 30 years, minus one blip 12 years ago. And I love how I eat. I love how I live. It's got everything. I just came through the weekend. I enjoy the foods I like to eat, my comfort pleasure foods. I had them and I'm right back on track. And I do this every week and I love it. It's balanced. It feels good. It's built for me. So that's strategy versus tactic. Constantina says, I can lose weight, but then it's coming back because of bad behaviors. Yeah, exactly, folks. I mean, that's what you've got to stop looking at the weight loss and focus on the behavior piece. You know, I think you know that, right? But who gives a shit? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, who cares if you can lose weight by restricting your bad behaviors for a little while? You know, what you need to do is you need to really focus on the bad behaviors systematically. You can't change them all at once. You focus on the worst one and you start figuring out ways to reduce, replace, or remove the calories from there strategically in a way that you could maintain. Because what you're saying, Constantine, you said it crystal clear. You defined everyone's issue, but a diet's never going to help you with that. And yet most people keep trying it. So DW hype. For those who love Jim Katsoulis and awesomeness, the cryptocurrency. My doctor told me to try Weight Watchers. Yeah, because doctors don't know anything about weight loss. So what do you want? We know this, right? Doctors don't know anything about weight loss. That's not what they do. No one knows anything about weight loss. I mean, I take that back. A lot of people know a lot about weight loss. No one knows anything about weight mastery, me starts to think. I don't see anyone talking about weight mastery, which is the difference is, like I always say, I don't give a shit about weight loss. I care about you living at your goal weight forever. Which would you take? Would you take overnight weight loss or would you take living at your goal weight for the rest of your life? You know, you just said it. I can lose weight, but then the bad behaviors get me. What if you had a way to figure out the bad behaviors? What if you're able to live at your goal weight? Isn't that the real goal you want? You never articulate it that way though, you know? So yeah, doctors, listen, I like doctors for, if I break my arm, man, I'm going to a doctor. I get diagnosed with some illness, I'm going to a doctor, okay? But when it comes to weight, these guys don't know shit. They don't. Maybe you might get an outlier doctor who's really interested in it and then great, okay? But the vast majority of them don't know shit about weight loss. I told you that blip I had 12 years ago, I put 25 pounds on. I went back in 6 months later and I dropped 15 pounds. I go, holy shit, how'd you do it? And I was like, you know, because they have no idea. They don't know. So H. Brown said, woohoo, now I'm excited I'm in. That's good, right? See, it's all about reframing. What's up, Nikita? I see Nikita over on Instagram. Katsoulis sounds Greek. It is. It is Greek. What's up, Tabby? I can't read Greek. I can't speak Greek. I'm Greek in name only. No, I'm Greek genetically. I don't know if my Vicky's here always telling me I'm not Greek. I'm kind of not Greek, though. I don't know. I kind of am, kind of not. I don't know how we define it. Creedy says, do you recommend keto or fasting? I don't recommend keto. I think keto is the fucking goofiest diet we got right now. And it's the most popular. So I love that. I love that. You know, if you're one, I don't mean to sound so dismissive, folks. I talk about this every day. I do this every day, right? We all know this. But the keto thing, I mean, what are we doing? I had someone write to me, and I appreciate it. They wrote on, I think it was on YouTube, and they wrote me like a paragraph answer. It was well thought out. And they were very nice. But I'd been asking about what society are we referencing, you know, that only ate meat. And, oh, thanks, Kimmy. And they went back to talking about, you know, a couple different random tribe people in Native American tribes. But mostly it was everyone 13,000 years ago. Everyone was just eating meat. The paleo man argument. And it's like, I don't know, the science doesn't back that up. You know, it doesn't. So I don't believe that. But anyways, keto in general, in modern world, you don't need to give up carbs to lose weight. But the biggest problem with keto is that no one sticks to it. You know, I'm the one person who does. No, you're not. No, you're not. Probably. Don't sound negative. Thanks, Constantina. I love that little heart. And fasting's fine. I mean, if you love fasting, fine, you know, do it. But my point is this, there's a million ways to lose weight because all weight loss comes down to reducing the average calorie consumption. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And so what I'd love for you to start doing is take into account whatever method you choose, how you feel about it. If you hate keto, if you hate intermittent fasting, please don't walk around thinking you have to do that to lose weight because you do not. And you'd be much better served by taking that energy, putting it follow things you hate doing to figuring out a plan that actually works for you and resonates with you. That's a way better strategy. There's going to be way better results. Tabby says, It has been a while. I haven't seen you in a while. I've been on a calorie deficit with little exercise and lost pounds, hit plateau, and now back to losing weight. There you go. All right, Tabby, great job. That's perfect. That's the way it goes. We got to be more patient with things. You know, your impatience is probably sabotages you more than anything in so many different ways. So, you know, we need to bring more patience to this process. And, Totally. I listen to your visualization video almost every day. That's great. Yeah. Super. Yeah, and also, by the way, so if anyone hasn't gotten in, Allie, I don't know if you have this, but go to my bio in TikTok, go to programyourselfthin.com, get the free hypnosis session I give you. So I don't know if you've heard that one yet, but that one's really good. And I give you the hypnosis session. There's a video I made, 3 Steps to Master Your Weight, and I email you every day. Good stuff. So Tabby says, I love reading your morning emails and repeating my mantras. Great job, Tabby. That's awesome. So great. Yeah. I love, again, my favorite people, and you'll see them. You'll see people in the program and you'll always know because like, oh, I hit a plateau and then I just stuck with things. And now I'm kicked back off again. Dieters rarely get through a plateau because what dieters do when they hit a plateau is they start cutting more calories. And, it's just, again, that impatience is the worst. Crystal says, I love that. I forget what I was even talking about. What are your thoughts on Contrave? You know, I was just asked about this recently, and then I just totally forgot what it is. Let's look it up. Contrave. It sounds like concrave. Is it about cravings? What's going on? Is my computer not working? Concrave. Let's see what this is. The official site, Naltrexone, and let's see. It's a fixed-dose combination medication for the management of adults. Is this the one that's like an antidepressant? Is this the antidepressant one? Get control over your cravings. I don't know. I do remember this one, but I don't have much thoughts on it. I just looked it up. You watched me look it up. I don't have much faith in any of these medicines. I mean, I do, like, look, again, I get it, but I have a different goal. So if you just want to lose weight, and you got money in your pocket and you just want to lose weight and not do much work, Ozempic's probably the way to go, you know, maybe stomach surgery, I suppose. But I don't really care about weight loss, to be honest. I care about weight mastery. And I always say, Program Yourself Thin, to be honest, it's really more of a personal development program. Because I don't think you can be the same person and then just be thin and healthy. I don't think that's possible. It's kind of the Einstein thing, that the same level of thinking that created the problem can't solve the problem. And so these medicines at best seem to be Band-Aids that don't really solve the core problem and don't give you the best results you could get. So you stop eating less. What if it's the same food? Again, for me, I want you to be the best version of yourself possible. And one aspect of that, you weigh what you want. But I want you to feel better physically, mentally, emotionally. I want you to have control over this. I want you to have strategies and structures that work for you, that you know you can rely on forever. I want you to understand how to do the process. So if you need to tweak it, you know how to do that. And I don't think the medicines give, I know the medicines don't give you that because I have people in the program that are on them. So it's like they do the food noise, if it works, and it only works for a certain number of people, but if the medicine does work, it works by kind of making you low-key nauseous most of the time, so you don't want to eat. You're not thinking about food. And then what happens, though, is that there's still always that anxiety of, like, what do I do when I'm done with this? You know, when I have to go off the medicine. So it's just a different goal, I would say, than what I'm talking about. What's up, Shireen? Time away, 5 straight pleasure days. I weighed myself today because you were in my head. I gained 1 pound. Hey, that's great, Shireen. Yeah, I love that. I'm proud of you for weighing yourself, too. It's nice just to face it, move on. I love facing fears. That's why I love the scale. I think using the scale every day is just a great tool, not just to track your progress and send a signal to your subconscious mind that's important, but I think most importantly, the scale is one of the best tools you have for really just working through all those emotions that are under the surface, you know? And once you do that, everything changes. You've got so much, you know, every time you think about weight loss and the more serious you get about it, you start activating a stress response. And that stress response makes it very difficult to succeed because your brain kind of shuts down. So great job, Shireen. What's up, John? I didn't get to my ice cream I bought this weekend. Put it in the outside freezer till next week. That's super. Great job. And that happens too. So that's wonderful. Yeah, because John's got pleasure days. So again, we learn how to deal with those and we learn strategies from having, we need to practice things to get good at something. Is that a crazy idea? Is it a crazy idea to think you need to practice things to get good at them? Is it? It must be. It must be to dieters, because dieters don't need to practice anything, right? What's a dieter need to practice? Nope. I know what to do, Jim. I just got to do it. And today's Monday and I'm doing it, baby. I'm doing it. No more carbs. And I'm not gonna eat for 16 hours too. I'm gonna double the weight loss. Oh, and what? What else? You're gonna go to the gym too? You're gonna go to the gym every day for an hour? Holy shit. Look at you. Wow. Can I give you a call in a month? You know, we need strategies. We need to practice being the person we want to be. You know, that's great, John. And now once you've done that, you've unlocked a new strategy. That's how I always look at it. You just unlocked a new strategy. Jenny says, love your stream. I agree on the philosophic ideals you have. Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate you saying that. Kimmy Claters, I've always felt like this. If I live the way I want to, live the rest of my life, not a diet. Yeah. I think that's the way to go. It's how I want to live. That's been the biggest shift. I mean, mindset-wise, if I had to pick one thing that's been the most impactful, and it happened when I was 19, when I started on this path, when I lost 50 pounds, the question I said to myself is, because I remember, I was like, I want to do this. I'm going to lose weight. And I remember the first thought that popped in my head, I was like, well, you have to work out. And you hate working out. So how are we going to do this? Like, you hate working out, but we got to do it. And then I remember this magical little voice come up and say, you don't have to work out. Fuck it. I don't want to work out. I don't want to work out. How else can we do it? That was, if I had to pick one moment that was the beginning of my whole transformation, it was that. Because I decided I wasn't going to do things that I didn't like doing. I wasn't going to fix all my weaknesses. I was going to build on my strengths. And I knew my biggest strength is that I could be lazy. And so I said, the laziest way for me to master my weight is to take control of my eating. Shit, it's less eating. It's less work. That's easier than going to the gym for me. So I'm going to build around my eating and mastering my eating. And so everything was built around what's something I can do for the rest of my life. Getting myself to exercise when I was 19 was hard. So how would it have been when I was 50, 70? Probably hard. So, you know, I'm glad I built around my eating because that's built for me. So yeah, it's what you, but that's me too, by the way. If you love exercising, it's a different story for you. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm talking about building around you though. This is one of the biggest things missing from most dieters' strategy is they're not building around themselves. They're not even taking themselves into account. As a matter of fact, they almost choose diets that are the least enjoyable. They choose the hardest diets because I believe most dieters deep down associate the harder, more deprived I feel, the more difficult it is, the more cravings I fight against, the better. because I'll get faster weight loss, more dramatic weight loss. And so I think there's very few people that want to lose weight that are asking questions like, how can I make this easy? What can I do for the rest of my life? I don't think anyone's asking those questions. So great job, Kimmy. I think that's special that you are. I just want to tell you I love your videos and way of thinking. I started to imagine my goal body and it's working. Great job. That's great. That's what I mean. It works, folks. I shit you not. If you don't believe it, right? So make sure the videos are good, right? No doubt. I love making those videos for you all. But I think I give you the next pieces are better, way better. And you get them. If you're on TikTok, go to my bio and click the link. Get the hypnosis session I give you and listen to. It's 10 minutes long. It's called The New Thin Me. It's a kickstart session. But watch the video I bring to you right after that. It's called 3 Steps to Master Your Weight. And that to me is really, really important because it changes the whole paradigm of how you think about weight loss. And so that's only 25 minutes. And then I email you every day just reinforcing all the stuff I'm talking about. But great job. Great job taking action and visualizing yourself as you want to be. That's wonderful. Emma says, do you have some sort of mantra for when we feel we are about to eat something we know we shouldn't? I'm going to share the mantra and I'll qualify it first because this is... I knew this mantra before I realized it was associated with Kate Moss and eating disorders. And it's that nothing tastes as good as thin and healthy feels. And I have used that mantra for 30 years and I will continue to use it. I don't mean what those other people mean by that. I think just being thin is not enough of a goal. I think you want to be thin and healthy. And thin, by the way, is not even a number that I would pick for you. It's not a number I could tell you. Your goal weight, thin is... My definition of thin is you living at your goal weight. So you can say, I weigh exactly what I want to weigh. That's what thin means to me. And your goal weight should be the weight that gives you the best quality of life. And so when you really give more meaning to what being thin and healthy means, living at your goal weight, being happy with yourself, being as healthy as you can be, being as successful as you can be, when you start to internalize that that's what thin and healthy means to you, when we say nothing tastes as good as thin and healthy feels, it really reinforces that. Because we live in a society where we're constantly conditioned to just focus on the food. And you're missing out on the way bigger form of pleasure. I'll prove it to you with a simple kind of mind experiment. But if a magic genie appeared in front of you and said, I will give you one of these two things. You can either have the most delicious meal that you've ever had in your entire life, or you can wake up tomorrow at your goal weight. Which one are you choosing? Yeah, most people are choosing the weight. Why? Because it's more enjoyable than the meal. So we've got the truth on our side, folks. We just need to remind ourselves of it. And I think nothing tastes as good as thin and healthy feels is a great way to remember that. So that's what I'd suggest. Jenny says, what do you do after you had a plateau? What do you do after you had a plateau? I'm more concerned with what I'm doing while I'm on a plateau. But first, remember, the goal here is to get to a plateau. The goal is to live your life at a plateau. So don't be so upset about plateaus, right? That's the ultimate goal here. But so I'm assuming, what do you do when you hit a plateau? You don't freak out about it. Just calm down. And whatever you've been doing to get to the plateau, keep doing the same thing, but optimize it. Make it easier and more enjoyable. And then maintain what you've been doing for a month, I would say. That's enough time to give your body, you know, the time it needs to kick back into gear and start losing weight, doing the same things. Or you get to a month out and you say, nothing's changing. Now let me look at strategically where I can cut some more calories out and re-kickstart the weight loss. But you're doing it on a firm foundation now. So if that helps. I'm going to try the hypnosis as soon as this is over. Super Crystal. Yeah, you'll love it. It's really good. I'm one of the highest paid hypnotists on the planet, folks. I just give this away. I give these sessions away because this is a mission for me. But I promise you, if I've tried hypnosis. You haven't tried my hypnosis. You know what I mean? You went to the guy down the street who does it part time. People pay me $25,000 to work with me privately, and I'm just giving you the sessions. So you haven't tried hypnosis like I'm doing it. So yeah, go check it out. How much of a reduction should we do for calories? What percentage? Lizard Custard, thank you for asking that, because now I get to answer this question in a way you've probably never heard before. And I'm probably going to make nutritionists go crazy because they don't believe this, I guess. But so what the average person does when they go on a diet is they're cutting 50, 60% of their calories day one. That's a pretty normal cut for a person to make, if not more. So again, there's our average calorie consumption. The average person's cutting way, way more. And then they're going to think they're coming up to maintenance afterwards. I would suggest instead that you figure it out this way. So let's just say you're 200 pounds and you want to be 150 pounds. Okay. So that would be a 50 pound weight loss, which would be 25% of your weight currently. So this isn't exact. I want to make this clear. This is just an idea, but I think it gives you a concept that's way more usable than what you're currently dealing with, which is what you're trying to do now. You're trying to cut as much as possible. That's a short-term strategy. What I think is a much better strategy and sets you up for long-term success is, let's go back to that example. You're 200 pounds. You want to lose 50 pounds. That's 25% of your weight now. So I would use that as the marker to say, okay, I'm going to focus on cutting 25% of my calories out. I wouldn't cut any more than 25%. So if you're 300 pounds and you want to lose 150 pounds, I wouldn't start with a 50% cut. I would start at maximum a 25% cut calories. And then once I got used to that, then I would work on reducing more. Okay. But I wouldn't go over 25%, but I would do it that way I just mentioned. Make it relative to the weight loss you want to accomplish percentage-wise. Italian blab. What did you discover about yourself after stop eating your emotions? That's the whole story for me. I mean, my dad died at 9. That was the big trauma in my life. And I had no way to deal with it emotionally. I just had no, my mom's the greatest mom on the planet. Her philosophy was like, oh, I don't want you guys upset. You know? So again, it was the '80s. No blame. She just did the best she could with it. And maybe it was the best, you know, again, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go to therapy in the '80s. So maybe I'm thankful for that. Long story short is I had no way to deal with all the emotion in me. And what I was doing to deal with it is I would watch lots of TV. I'd eat lots of food, eventually start drinking a lot, doing stupid shit. And I would do, I swear, I feel like I would do anything just to not pay attention to what was going on inside of here. And for me, as I started to do more meditation and yoga and I started cleaning up my eating and I started to live a more authentic life in terms of interfacing with my emotions, I think that supported me in really being able to interface with the anger, the sadness, the depression, just all that roiling emotion that was inside of me. I was able to kind of sit with it. And over time, I've learned strategies to kind of deal with it. So I feel ultimately, the big thing I say is I traded using food to numb myself and distract myself from the emotions. And now I'm able to sit much more genuinely with the emotions. And so I've worked through a lot of them and they still come up. You know what I mean? Like they still come up randomly, but I don't feel like I'm running away from it like I was. I feel like my ability to kind of sit with them and then move through them or have them pass through me, whichever way I do it, has improved tremendously. And I feel like that's been foundationally the biggest shift in my life. You know, and sure, it shows up in my weight, my health, but it shows up. I was a blackout binge drinker, you know, and so I don't do that anymore. And so I just did crazy shit. And so I don't do any of that stuff anymore, you know, and I stopped when I was still 19, 20. So it's not just I got older stuff. I, you know, being able to process my emotions genuinely, I think one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten to experience. What calorie percentage reduction? Yep, I answered that one. What's up, Lorena? Tree Dunham, I think I'm ready for 4 days clean eating, 3 days pleasure eating. Great job. Yeah, and there's not a rush. Just work up to it. You know, I mean, so I know the patience is the hardest part, I think, to deal with for the average dieter. But I see my camera's froze up. This shit is... 3 stream sucks. I stream to other things, and it's problems with it every single day, I swear. Anyways, so what I'm trying to say, like the patience thing is a challenge. I get that. But I think one thing that helps with that is when you realize you're building on a solid foundation. You know, the diet is not a solid foundation. And so it's, it always feels like you're kind of standing on quicksand or like on a shaky, you know, platform. And so when you start to approach things and more strategically, I think it makes it easier to be patient because you feel like you have a solid foundation under you. You're building on strategies that are built for you and that can work. So that helps. If you had to give one singular tip for weight loss, like the most important tip, the most important tip I would say is to stop focus on it would be a mindset based technique that is that you're not stop caring about losing weight and start focusing on living at your goal weight. That's the biggest tip in a nutshell, because you're always looking at your weight loss in terms of how quick can I lose the weight? But you've probably lost weight before, you know? So again, how quick can I lose weight is like, how much extreme shit can I do to lose the weight? And it's not sustain. Easy for you to say. It's not sustainable. It's just a shaky foundation. And so once you're solid underneath you by realizing, I don't give a shit if I can lose weight quickly, if it's unsustainable, I'm only going to do things that are comfortable and relatively easy for me to do, and I'm going to build on those. And I think once you do that, I think it changes the whole process, you know, and you start to develop real strategies that doesn't take a million willpower to do. You know, you can just do them automatically. So I think that's probably the biggest tip, is changing your time frame from wanting to lose weight to wanting to live at your goal weight forever on your autopilot. Lorena says, yesterday I enjoyed really good pleasure evening and only 100 grams was on the scale. Yeah, that's what I mean. When you have pleasure days and you don't put a million pounds on, it's a real game changer for people, I notice in the program. And it's exactly for the reason I just mentioned, because now all of a sudden it dawned. You've never had this idea in your mind. In your mind, you frame weight loss as long as I don't eat anything I like, I can lose weight. So it's an all or nothing thing. And again, we're always going to create the best quality of life for ourselves, what we think is the best quality of life. And if you think the food's the best quality of life, you're always going to go back to the food, you know. But the truth is, you can still have the food you like. The question I love, based on the, you know, have your cake and eat it too, is how can you have your cake and your body too? And you never ask that question because you're a black or white thinker, because the diet industry is conditioned to think that way. And so you just think like, well, I can either weigh what I want to weigh, or I can never eat the foods I like to eat. I can weigh what I want to weigh and never eat the foods I like, or I can eat the foods I like and be a little overweight. And so in those situations, you're going to go to the food and the extra weight. That's why you're where you're at, most likely. If you're overweight, that's why. And so we want to change the way we're thinking about that, you know, which is how you're doing. Avoiding the scale is part of how we got overweight. Yeah, absolutely. You weigh that much no matter if you step on the scale. I love that piece too, right? That's such a good point. Yeah. You still weigh that much. You just don't know about it. So I know the ignorance is bliss thing, and I get that, but I don't want to live a life of like ignorance is bliss. Do you know what I mean? Like I want to live in the light. I want to face this shit. I don't know. It's easier for me to say it than it is to do. I'm not 100% with my emotions, but I don't want to know that I'm anxious about stepping on the scale and just accept that, because it's going to lead to other problems. It's going to impact your weight probably negatively. I was prepared for 500 to 1,000 kilograms for a moment, but I actually enjoyed my pleasure meal and voila. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Liverina. And again, it's a magical thing once you open up that, holy shit, I can control my weight and have the foods I like. That becomes a new level. I should make that up, actually. There are certain mindset shifts that happen to people along the way, and it brings them up to another level. That's one of them. Holy shit, I can eat the foods I like and I can control my weight. That's a big moment for a lot of people, you know. Thank you for helping people. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate you saying that. Tree Donum, you qualify with healthy, though, not thin at every cost. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I do qualify it. But that qualifying doesn't seem to matter to them, because when I say nothing tastes as good as thin and healthy, all they hear is nothing tastes as good as being skinny. And so it doesn't matter how I qualify it, I still get that shit from them. But whatever. But you all know. I mean, you're obviously different. My mother just body shamed me for the first time ever. It ruined me. She has no idea how much I've struggled to lose weight for years. Yeah, moms, parents, friends. You know, I do believe that somewhere, most of the time, there is good intention in their heart. Just people, no one knows. No one. This is why I say with the mindset piece, if you're struggling with your weight, the first hurdle you got to overcome is not the diet. You don't need to figure out a diet. You need to get motivated. You're not even motivated proper. And so I say that because no one knows how to motivate themselves. And so even when people are saying shit to you, when they're body shaming you, you know, back in the day, that was the main form of motivation, and it still continues to be a big source of it, but it's very ineffective. So I'm sorry that happened to you, but Mario, again, it's not about what's said to us, because I will tell you this, that I have a three-stage model. There's the external reality or stimulus, there's the words your mom said, but then there's the interpretation of it, and then there's the experience of it. And so that's such a profound idea to me, because we can take anything that's said to us and interpret it the way we want to, so we feel the way we want to. And so you can take that body shame you feel and begin to use that as a source of motivation to truly get your weight under control and really master this area of your life. And so, sorry it happened to you, but again, it's up to you to kind of reframe it in a way that you can use it for good. Sophie says, I got through a mood swing today without eating my way through it. Hey, great job, Sophie. And every time you do it, see, that's why that's such a big distinction between a dieter and what I'm talking about is it's like if you get through one emotional mood swing and you don't eat, to me, it's like I'm celebrating that. Where a dieter thinks, okay, I got through one and I can't get through the next one. I got to get through the next one too. I don't give a shit. As long as I got through one, I think that's a huge win and I'm looking to learn from it and remind myself and reinforce I can do this. And so next mood swing comes and I eat everything. I don't care. I'm like, okay, what was the difference there between the other one? Next time I get an emotional mood swing, I want to remember this part here and do that. You see? So again, as a dieter, everything's all or nothing. You're walking your streak. Right? You always the streak of how long you do it. With what I'm talking about, you got wins and losses, but we're always learning from both of them and always getting better and moving forward. But great job, Sophie. That's a big accomplishment. User 269, I've had hip mobility issues for 2 years, chronic pain. I'm now working on removing inflammation, lose weight. I've gone to physio, chiropractor, osteopath, massage, still have pain every day. Yeah, that sucks. Pain's a tough one too. Pain's definitely a real challenge. What's up? Pain's a real challenge when it comes to weight loss, you know, because food is a pain reliever to some degree and it's a distractor. So it pains relieves because it distracts you and it chemically is a pain reliever. So yeah, that's a challenge, you know. Just keep on moving. But make sure user 269, get my hypnosis session. Hypnosis you may find can help with the pain, you know. Maybe it doesn't help with the pain even, folks, but it, again, like I was just saying, your interpretation of the pain, it can influence, so it helps that way too. Persistence, yep, absolutely. Mary says, why am I so afraid to weigh myself? I have to, but I guess I just don't want to be disappointed. Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's that huge feeling of disappointment right on the other side of it. I wouldn't want to be walking around. That's again, emotionally, like I keep imagining like a wooden tower in my mind that's just kind of like all rickety and crickety, rolling from side to side. And so the emotional foundation, if you're feeling all this worry about disappointment and fear and scared and nervousness, that emotion that's just underneath it, I don't know how you're ever going to be able to master your weight if there's all that negative emotion right under it. It creates all kinds of subconscious problems. So that's why I like this scale. I know no one wants to step on the scale. Well, not no one, but a lot of people don't want to step on the scale because they're like, oh, it's like you give all your power away to the scale, you know, but you're the human. You can deal with the scale and feel the way you want to about it, you know, but I get it, Mario. It's a work in progress. But yeah, I don't know. I like facing the disappointment sometimes. You got to be in the right headspace, and right now it may not be with your mom just saying that, but I like going head on at the disappointment, you know. That's me. Maybe that's weird. But anyways, all right, I got to get out of here. So yeah, all my streams are broken down. How often do you think I should weigh myself? Is once a month too rare? Now listen, I'm going to preface this by saying my main number one golden rule is that there's no right or wrong. There's only what works for you. Okay. So I think that, you know, I think that it's important that you do what works for you. Now, that being said, let me make the case for the other side. And I'm going to just reinforce one more time that I've made this case to lots of my clients and some of them use it and some of them say, no, thank you. That's fine. I don't know everything, you know, and I don't know you. So I don't know what's going to work best. So maybe not using a scale ever is a solution for you. Now, all that being said, I like weighing myself every day. When I was losing weight, I was weighing myself every day. I like to keep it front and center of my mind. But most importantly is I find that's the easiest way to work through the emotions, the weight loss emotions. Yeah, and Priya says, unless you're disappointed, change is hard. I asked that the other day. I did a video, like, I don't think you want to lose weight. And I genuinely believe that for most people. And I think one of the big ones that came up, maybe it was number one even, was that people said, I don't want to lose weight because it's too hard to live that way and keep it up. And so, yeah, the scale, if we're so worried about the scale, it's there's so many emotions just under that act. And so that's what I love it for. But the other piece is too, the other, just on a real logical level, I think understanding your body weight's fluctuations day to day is really helpful too. I've learned instrumental strategies for me in terms of my eating and where my weight shows up from stepping on the scale every day. So I know that my weight loss doesn't show up for 2 weeks. My weight gain doesn't usually show up consistently for 2 weeks. And knowing that is one of the most important things that I have discovered during my journey in terms of how I stay on track. So, but that there's that piece. But then again, the most important piece to me is the emotions. And I'll reference another measurement tool that you feel totally different about. You're not afraid to look at the speedometer of your car, right? You're driving and you look at it, you're not worried you're going too fast or you're going too slow because you know how to speed up or slow down. And I think the weight, the scale just reveals the fact that you don't know how to control your weight. And so that's the real issue. And so once you realize you're learning how to actually control your weight, the scale just becomes another measurement tool you use. And again, you don't have to, but I like it. Maria says, how to stop eating chocolate and sweets? Can't stop it. You can stop it. You don't want to stop it. Let's be specific. We need to be specific, all right? Because if we're not specific, what are we doing, right? Because if you can't stop it, right, that's the wrong way to recognize it. I haven't stopped it. I don't want to stop it is probably the most accurate, and that's a good way. Because if you say I can't stop it, it's not accurate. And so what are you going to do? Spend all your time wondering why you can't stop it? Because it's not even true. If you say I don't want to stop it, okay, well, now that's something to think about. You can dig your teeth into that. So how do you stop eating chocolate and sweets? First off, I wouldn't stop eating them. I don't find that works for anyone, because you'll find that chocolate and sweets are probably two of the high points in your life. So I don't think that, now again, some people think that it's not possible to eat a little bit of it. I find that most of them are completely wrong, because they've never really focused with a good strategy on how to be moderate with those foods. But so yeah, I wouldn't stop completely. I would learn how to eat them more moderately. And I would do that in search of the ultimate pleasure. You think you're enjoying chocolate and sweets, but I think you'd enjoy them even more at your goal weight when you had all this under control. So it's about setting a more pleasurable goal up above that one that you want to hit. And I know that's an unsatisfying answer for you, but that's what you get. Jim, any coupon codes for your program, please? Which version, the coaching one or the one without the coaching? Someone said, oh, Carl, everyone wants to know that one, right? I know, and I get, like, again, I know I say this, I'll qualify it now too, but I know people ask me the question, like, how do I deal with chocolate and sweets? And it's like, you want me to just say something like, oh, drink water, or drink this special water with this special shit in it, and then it'd be all gone. Oh, you want to know how I got this little tea from the Amazon that I'm selling? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do that to you, because there is no tactic within your mindset that's going to work. You've got to change the way you think about chocolate and sweets yourself, your strategies, and what you're doing. I eat chocolate and sweets. The eating the chocolate and sweets isn't the problem. It's the way you're eating them. So, hope that makes sense. User 928, I plateaued, help. Well, how long you been plateaued? How long you been losing weight? How much weight have you lost? How long you plateaued? And then I'll help you. User 269, you make so much sense. Down 10 pounds listening to you, making the best changes. That's awesome. Let's screenshot that. Whoops. Oh, shit. I'm having technical issues today. That's awesome, though. Great job, user 269. I do talk so much sense, don't I? Like, I it's just crazy how much sense I talk. I just can't believe it. Can't believe this is my life, talking sense about, like, the biggest industry in the world. It's this huge industry, the weight loss industry. And I'm like, how am I one of the only ones talking sense? It's weird. I don't know, but I'm glad you're all here to hear it. And I'm glad I get to talk it. And I'm glad you lost 10 pounds. Great job. Because I know if you've been listening to me, you've done it in a way that's amazing. You know, it's the best weight loss you ever had in your life. I tried a healthy cheesecake recipe recently, and I was really happy with it. Great job. Emma says coaching with the private sessions. Emma, shoot me a message. Shoot me a link. I will let you know ahead of time. I don't do coupons because I have to. It just isn't fair for other people in the program. It's, you know, because there's people in the program that really worked hard to invest that money, and so I would never just, like, you know, offer lower prices to other people. I do have a payment plan that I could offer you if you want to get into it, but shoot me a message if you want that link. I can send that to you. Maria says, so true. Thanks. Yep. On what days are you usually live? Usually Monday through Friday. I'm live every day. Yeah, no one does as many podcasts as me. Is that true? I'm sure there's people doing daily podcasts. But yeah, I do these, and I usually live stream them to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and then TikTok. But TikTok's my favorite live version, so I'm hoping TikTok doesn't get banned. Because I'd be sad. I love talking to my TikTok people. But we'll see what happens. But yeah. All right, but I gotta get out of here anyways. All right, everyone, thank you so much. But yeah, if you're not in my world, go to my bio, click the link, get the hypnosis session. It's free. Watch the video I made for you, 3 Steps to Master Your Weight. It's free. Read the emails I send you every day, encouraging and supporting you. They're all free. And I even did a motivation video I just put up. It's a 15 motivator. I'm sending out links to it, so you get on my list, you'll get a link for it today. But it's intense, not for the faint of heart, and I put a little warning in there. If you're not in a great spot mentally and emotionally, I would skip it for now. But if you really, really want to get motivated to lose weight, this will do it. So anyways, hey, what's up, Kelly? You're welcome. Yeah, you're all welcome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all saying that. So yeah, make sure you get my world and then listen to the podcast. Podcast programyourselfthin.com. Or no, it's not. not.com. Program Yourself Thin is the podcast, and it's on all the podcast platforms. So go check it out. If you like it, give it a rating. And yeah, thanks a lot. All right, everyone, have a great day, and we'll talk soon. Bye.